the first three verses of 2 Corinthians 1. We'll read this. And I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And carnal is fleshly, it's pertaining to the flesh, it's earthy, it's natural. And he's going to paint a difference, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning, between the spiritual and the carnal, or the fleshly, or the natural. But he's writing, and I want you to understand, as we're speaking this morning to a church, he's writing to those that are supposed to know the Lord, that were born of God, that had received the Spirit of God. But he's writing a letter to them, and he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? I think it's important to even see what these envies and strifes were. The next verse says, for while one said, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? And he goes on and he begins to talk about their contentions over baptisms, their religious divisions and things that were causing strife. But one of the things that he was calling carnal, and this is Paul writing to them, he says, because you've got folks there that said, I'm a Paul. And it's one of the reasons that he said that you're carnal, you're fleshly, you're walking as men. Now, I'm going to say something to you. If you're a child of God, you are not to walk as a man or a woman, you know, if you're a woman. And I want to, not in the sense that the Scripture speaks of, but he's speaking to those that are born of the Spirit of God. And I'm sure that you, in this place, you've heard this. I trust that you know this, that if you're born of the Spirit of God, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a man that wanted to know the ways of God. Nicodemus was a man that his whole life had been raised studying the Scripture, studying the Word of God. But he comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And he's telling this good man who studied the Word of God, raised in church, all these things, it's more than that. It's more than learning good things. It's more than learning how to do the right. It's more than learning good doctrine. Nicodemus, there must be a new birth. You must be born again. And he tells Nicodemus this. He said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He's talking about that which man gives birth to. It can be a woman giving birth to a child, or it can be a preacher trying to mold someone into being a Christian. If man is the source of it, he says it's flesh. But he says that which is born of the Spirit to Spirit. He says, so don't marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. And I want to say to anyone that doesn't know that, doesn't comprehend that, it's the words of the Lord. And this walk is so much more than coming to church and learning a doctrine or learning how to do something. It begins with a new birth. And when there is a new birth, there is something and there, a creation that was not there before. Do you understand that if you're a child of God this morning, there was a moment in time that there came into being a creation that was not there before. And that creation was Christ in you. And if any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. In that new creation, in that work of this new birth, of what we call the work of regeneration, you received a new heart and a new spirit, a new nature. And though those that looked upon you and saw the same features, saw the same person, you went by the same name, yet if they hung around long at all, they saw this was a different person. This was a different man or a different woman. Something had inherently, and from the very foundation of what they were, something was different, and it wasn't remodeled. It was new. A new creature. And being born of the Spirit of God, the only way I know how to say it, a child of God is a spirit being or a spirit individual. We're not going to go there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us, he said, the first man is of the earth, earthy. Who was that? That was Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Christ. Came down from heaven. But he goes on. He says, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. Those that have not been born again, they are in the image of Adam. But he says, such as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And those that have been born of the Spirit of God, they are in the image of Christ. And you say, but you've got the same height, you've got the same nose, you've got the same, you know, all these things. And I want to tell you, everything's different. And they're new creatures, new creations. Years ago, I don't know, this has been 25 years ago, Brother Surface scared himself and shut down what he was preaching. I've scared myself, or the Lord scared me. I remember the service. We was back there on Lauder, and he was preaching. And this is what scared him to make him shut down what he was preaching. Because he was preaching, the Holy Ghost just fell upon him. And he said, if you're born of God, you're not just a natural man. You're more than a man. And I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, man or woman, you are not just a natural man. You're not just a natural woman. Something has inherently changed. The Spirit of God has come and rebirth. And you're more than just a man. Now someone will hear that and say, well, that's foolishness. Well, that's what Jesus said, and that's what we're going to see what Paul said. Jesus said, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. For there are those, and I trust many in this place, born of the Spirit of God that understand. They may not have heard in those terms, but something changed, and it was more than whatever was before. But here he speaks to those, and that's who he would call spiritual. When he calls them spiritual, he's not speaking to someone who's walked this walk long enough to get wise enough, to get spiritual enough, but someone that is a spiritual being because they've been born of the Spirit of God. But his words to them, but I can't talk to you like someone that's spiritual. He said, I've got to talk to you like someone that's carnal. You know what carnal is? Carnal gets a bad rap and then too good of a rap. Carnal is just earthy, fleshly, natural. How many understand what I'm talking about over the years, that there's some people that you can talk spiritual things with, and there's some people that you cannot. There's some people, you know, you may not even know them. You may meet them somewhere. In just a few moments' time, you can speak to them as spiritual. And yet you go to someone else on the job, and all you can talk is earthy and carnal things. And that's what he's talking about. And he's writing to those that he's saying, I can't speak to you as spiritual. I've got to speak to you as carnal. He said, because the strifes and divisions among you And I want to point again, one of the divisions was, is someone was saying, I'm a Paul. And Paul said, what are you talking about? I'm a Paul. Men may divide themselves that way, but the kingdom of God is not divided that way. You know, and I'm going to say this, over the years, there's been many times that someone, you know, would ask me, well, you're on their side. And the only way I'd say, what are you talking about? Sides. Do you know what sides are among people? What were you talking about? Sides. You're on their side. And someone's saying, you're saying you're not on their side? That does not compute. I don't understand that. I'm going to say this before God. I don't understand that. You know, the kingdom of God is not divided into sides. It's not divided into, are you for me or are you against me? If you're walking in the kingdom of God, you're for every soul that's ever born. And you're for every person that ever walked. And as He died for all, you live and to bring the gospel to all. And there are no sides. And it does not even compute. But there were sides. And Paul said, you're walking as men, or you're walking like men walk. And you know what the great tragedy was? Is they weren't men. They were children of God that were walking like men walk. Let's turn one chapter back, the second chapter, 1 Corinthians, 9th verse. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so the things that God has prepared that has not entered the mind or the eye or the ear of natural man, yet the Spirit reveals them to us. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And He's simply telling us that if we're going to know the things that are prepared, the only one that can show them to us is the Spirit of God. Because no man knows the things of God that are hidden in God except the Spirit of God. And He reveals them to us. And so, the riches are unsearchable. But He says they're revealed to us by the Spirit of God. We get to see, Trish, what eye has not seen. We get to hear what ear has not heard. We get to know what has never entered the heart of man, because His Spirit reveals to us. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And I want to tell you here, He's speaking of that work that happened to you, that Spirit of Christ within you. And we're going to see this in a minute, that you received when you were born again, and when you came to Christ. And it was more than a form. It was more than a ritual. It was more than a self-improvement moment or path. But you were born of the Spirit of God. You received the Spirit which is of God. Not the spirit which is of man, and not that which is natural, but the Lord from heaven came to you. The Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. See, unless you receive the Spirit which is of God, the Spirit of God cannot show you the things that are freely given. But he's just saying, you've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I want to say this to you. The Apostle Paul said, you know, though I be free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all. And the Scripture tells us there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And something that I believe that we're faithful to let people understand and know is your salvation will never depend on any man and will never become subject to any man. If it happens, it's your doing and not God's doing. Know that any that be I, be any man, someone coming as an angel from heaven and saying that it's got to come through me and you've got to serve God through me, dismiss them, turn them off, run them off. But I want to say with that, there is a reason that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There is a reason that God gave those that He speaks to by His Spirit. And this is what Paul is speaking about, that he receives that which is by the Spirit of God and he ministers that. He gives that. And someone says, well, I don't need for any man to teach me. Then you deny that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for you. You deny that. You deny that. I was thinking this morning, Lord help me stay on message. I was thinking this morning, we say that, you know, we're not going to let man tell us what to do. Well, you look over and over, you look in the parables of Jesus. You look, a man had a stewardship, a kingdom. He'd send his messengers. They wouldn't hear his messengers. They'd slay his messengers. He'd send more messengers. Well, they'd slay his messengers. In their mind, they're saying, we're not going to listen to this man. In their mind, it's the messenger. In their mind, it's the one standing before them. So it's all right to kill him. It's all right not to listen to him. But that spirit became so strong that when he sent his son, they killed his son. And Jesus said this, he said, he that receives you, receives he that sent you. And if those that reject you, reject those that sent you. So I want to say this to you. Don't subject your salvation to any man. But if God sends a man, a woman, or a child, and to speak his word, then it's God that speaks. So Paul says, we teach what the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, did he say the evil man? How about did he say the wicked man? Did he say the God-hating man? No, he says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Who? The natural man. You know who that is? You say, that's me if I'm in my natural side. No. That's you before you were born of the Spirit of God. That's that neighbor that you love, that you want to share Christ with, but there's like a wall. Or that family member, that loved one. Because the natural man may be that child, may be that parent. The natural man receives not. The natural woman receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. And I want to say this. He can use all his mental or her mental ability to wrap around it. And he can't know it. Because is a natural man or a natural woman, and Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So it's foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And someone says, well, you got to be, you know, floating in the Holy Ghost to know it. That's not what Paul is saying. You got to be a spiritual being, a child of God, to grasp. For he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We don't instruct God. But I want you to look at this last phrase of this chapter. But we have the mind of Christ. That little verse of scripture, little passage, has eluded me because it's always there and I didn't understand it. We have the mind of Christ. And I'm thinking, you know, let's get the mind of Christ in this matter. And that's the way I always think of that. Let's pray and let's fast and let's do pray and fast. Until we get the mind of Christ in this matter. But you see, that's the mind of the Holy Ghost. But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. He's saying, you don't have a natural mind. You have a spiritual mind. I want you to listen to me. Who am I speaking to? Those that are on fire for God, or those that are cold, or those that are newly saved, or those been saved 20 years? I'm talking if you've been born of the Spirit of God. You have a new heart, you have a new spirit, you have a new nature, and you have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Ghost can speak to you. Because your mind is not the natural mind that cannot receive the things of God. It's not the natural mind that cannot know the things of God. It's a mind that God can speak to if you will let Him. One more passage, Romans the 8th chapter. First verse, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul makes this statement. Before going through, I would do good, evil is present with me, the evil that I would not that I do, the good that I would that I do, and all those things. As he's describing himself before he came to Christ, and he starts that whole section with these words, when we were in the flesh. Now, when Saul of Tarsus, who became to be known as Paul the Apostle, was in the flesh, he had never committed a sin that he knew of. I want you to hear that. Because later, the Apostle Paul is going to write, he says, touching the righteousness which is by the law, I was blameless. I want you to see that. When he was in the flesh, he had never committed a sin that he knew of. We make so many excuses, just even for natural man. I tell people this, it's not a boasting, it didn't save me. If it's a boasting, it's a boasting in my parents. Because as a teenager, I'd never spoken a word of profanity in my life. I'd never known alcohol, never known tobacco, didn't lie, don't ever remember lying to my parents. It wasn't spirituality, it was good parenting. But I was still in the flesh. And Paul said when we were in the flesh and he never committed a sin that he knew of, everybody looked at him and thought he was such a spiritual being. He said, I excelled among many my own equals in the Jews' religion. And he's a spiritual man, but he says, we were in the flesh, I was in the flesh, and he's simply saying, and I wasn't even born again. It's all that he's saying. I wasn't even born of God. It's all that I had. And he begins to describe all the things he went through. When he began to understand that 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, that the things in his heart were also sin, and all that he thought he was perfect, it began to rip him apart. And he ends up that chapter, the last verse of the 7th chapter, calling on the Lord, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You know what he's telling for anyone to listen? There's a deliverance from the I would do good, but evil is present with me. There's a deliverance from the good that I would that I do not. There's a deliverance from those religious struggles within through Jesus Christ. And we step into this 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You know how you come in Christ Jesus? You must be born again. Amen. There's no 3-step, 5-step, 10-step, how to, deacon board. It's a new birth. But there's some simple realities of if you're in Christ Jesus is in you. That's inseparable. If you're in Christ Jesus in you. We may not get there today because I don't want to take this 2-minute message and turn it into an hour and a half message. But in the 8th chapter, he's going to talk about that, what it is not to be in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And it's Christ in you. And the Spirit's alive. And it's the Holy Ghost working in you. And he brings the whole ball of wax together there. But it begins with a new birth, and Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, I'm going to say it again, you're not just a man, you're not just a woman, and you're not in the flesh. We don't understand in the flesh. We think, well, in the flesh is, well, I was going along spiritual till she said something, and then I had to straighten her out, so I got in the flesh. No. But you're not in the flesh. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, you're not in the flesh. If Christ dwelling in you, why? Because you've received the mind of Christ. You've received that which crying, Abba, Father, that can receive every spiritual blessing from above. You've received that in the new birth, being a child of God. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ Jesus is in them. But then he qualifies that in a manner just as we started. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know what he's saying? He's saying, you're walking like a species you're not. How many have ever seen one animal raised by a different species around them and start acting like them? Huh? Yeah. Seen pigs that think they're dogs? Seen dogs that think they're human? Humans that think dogs are humans? But animals, especially young, that are different, you know, they've lost maybe their mom, and they try to act like. Do you understand what Paul is saying when he says, you're walking like men? You're not a gorilla. What are you growling like one for? You're not a dog. Why are you chasing cars? You're not a cat. Why don't you listen to somebody? But he said, you're children of God, walking like men. So he speaks to those who are in Christ Jesus. So by that, he's not speaking now to everyone. He's not speaking to the natural. He's not speaking to those that are in the flesh. He's speaking to those that are in Christ. Christ is in them. And an assurance of no condemnation to those who, well, wait a minute, walk not after the flesh. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 He said, don't think of us as though we walked according to the flesh, and that's the same word, kato, which is after here. Though we walk in the flesh, and here he's just talking about the natural body, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And he's simply saying that when we withstand Satan, we don't do it to like natural men. We don't do it to, you know, like carnal men. We don't do it to like those who pick up pitchforks, and are those who raise up mobs, or those who get the group together and to pull down. We don't war after the flesh. We don't war like natural men. I told you in camp meeting that I tell people that if you're in a battle as a child of God and you've put a face on the enemy, you've already lost the battle. That's how men war. They find a person, that's the enemy. They find a group, that's the enemy. They find a man or a woman, that's the enemy. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We do not war after the flesh. But he says, to those who walk not after the flesh. And he's simply talking about those that walk, that handle things, that deal with situations, or even try to serve God like a person that doesn't know God does. See, everyone that's in the flesh walks after the flesh in everything they do. Whether they're serving God or not, they walk after the flesh. It's just, that's how men walk. Can you see that? That's how men walk. That's how you do it. One of the sayings that I got to the place 20 years ago, I just couldn't stand anymore. You know, man's got to do what a man's got to do. Well, I believe that if he's got to get up early and work long to support his family. I believe that's what a man's got to do. Sometimes what a woman's got to do. I believe that. If it's to sacrifice themselves to do things that they've had compassion upon others, they've got to do what they've got to do. And it takes sacrifice and it takes effort and things like that. But the way I always heard that is that I don't want to do it. I know it's wrong. But today I just got to do what I got to do. That's how men walk. That's not how the children of God walk. You know one thing the Lord let me know? I don't know. I guess it was just there. I don't know. But you know this? I can never sin against you to bless her. You know that? I can never wrong her to bless you. I'll take this further. I can never wrong this man to bless this man. I'll take it further than that. Ruby, I can never wrong you to bless her. Do y'all comprehend that? You say, well, you've got your priorities out. You need to understand who's first. I do understand who's first. And I understand how dear these people are and how you are to me. But that's how men walk. That's not how the children of God walk. Amen. And we say we got to do what we got to do. And we're justifying something that God will never justify. He said, who walk not after the flesh, you walking like men walk. That's what he's saying. You walking like men. You walking like people who don't know the Lord walk. And the thing about what Paul was talking about here was their service of God. Before being born of God, Saul of Tarsus would go to the temple, go through the forms, go through the rituals. And he's warning those that have come to Christ about just going to the church house and going through the forms and going through the rituals. You're walking like men walk. And the people of God are those who worship God in the Spirit, to rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the fleshly things they do. So we walk after the Spirit. We walk like children of God. We understand that our daily bread is not biscuits and gravy. Our daily bread is Jesus Christ and living water that flows. It's our sustenance. It's our strength. It's our vigor. That's how children of God walk. Men can be outside the presence of God months on end and get by. And children of God outside the presence of God wither and die. And he's laying out the two paths that to so many, you know, one looks great, but the other one isn't so bad. And it's after the flesh. It's as fleshly, earthy, natural. Didn't say evil. Fourth verse, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Fifth verse, they that are after the flesh. See, everyone that's in the flesh, that's not born again, walks after the flesh. But sometimes I wonder if we don't have some dogs that think they're pigs. It is a pig that thought it was a dog, wasn't it? But the walk, you don't question what the Lord did for them. You don't question were they born again. But they think they can survive outside the presence of God because people do it every day. People survive outside of water every day, but a fish won't. Birds survive every day jumping out of trees, but you won't. And he said, they don't walk after the flesh. They don't walk like men walk. They don't serve God like carnal religion does. Someone says, you're just too into this. James told someone he was in a gift shop somewhere, and he's talking to a lady, and he asked her, he said, you're a Christian? She said, no, I'm Buddhist. There's a lot of Buddha in here. Talking about the little things in the gift shop. Watch what you buy. He said, there's a lot of Jesus Christ in here. Hey, man, good answer, brother. A lot of Jesus Christ in here. You won't survive after the flesh, but you'll thrive in the presence of God. I've never been told, God gave you a brain. How many have told your kids that? But God gave you a brain, but you know, it's things that sound so good, but most of the time I've heard it in life, it's a reason not to believe what God said. God gave you a brain to use. I believe that, you know, if you spend more than you make, you're going to be in trouble. So many things in life. But so oftentimes, it's concerning the things of God, the promises of God, the Word of God, and you got what God says, but God gave you a brain to use. If you're a child of God, He gave you the mind of Christ to believe Him, to receive from Him. But He said, those that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. They understand the things of the flesh. Me against them makes sense. Me handling them makes sense. Me straightening them out makes sense. Me watching out for me makes sense. And I can go on. They mind, they comprehend, they understand, they grasp, they care for the things of the flesh. But those that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. And I'll not fight my battle because He fights them. And if I do, He won't. I don't have a right to be bitter because if I do, it'll destroy me. But I have a right for peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I care for those things. I have a right to go spend my life on things that are just carnal and earthly. Or I can come into the presence of God and be filled with His Spirit and be lifted up in the Holy Ghost, and I care for those things. And those that are after the Spirit mind, or they care for the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm going to jump just because I got to jump. They that are in the flesh can't please God. Why would you even think about walking like someone walks who could never, in anything they do, ever please God? Why would you even think about walking that way? In the flesh, they can't. Why would you walk after their manner? Why would you walk like they walk? They could never in 1,000 years please God. And until they repent and believe upon Christ, are born of the Spirit of God. But you, being born of the Spirit of God, why would you even consider walking like they walk? Carnal religious service and activity and ritualism. Jump forward if you would. And I would love to preach this whole chapter, but the 12th and 13th verse where I got to go to. If I get on those 9, 10, 11, we're going to be here a while. Therefore, brothers, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know why you're not a debtor to live after the flesh? Because you got the mind of Christ. You see, you don't have to reason things out. You can receive the things that God has prepared for you. You've got the mind of Christ. You've got a new heart and a new spirit. You've got a Father that watches over you. You don't have to fight your battles. You don't have to live after the flesh. Your debt is to take this gospel and give it to others. But you don't do it by a religious means. Why? Because you're not in the flesh. You've received that which can receive the things of God. He'll watch over you. He'll walk with you. You abide with Him, He'll abide with you. He'll comfort you, keep you, uphold you. Listen to me, He'll be your provider. He'll be your provider. Did you hear me? And so many people can't serve God or serve God until, but this is my provision. I'm going to stand here and shout it and not be ashamed of it. He's my provider. He's my provision. The songwriter said, I will honor Christ wherever I go. Hallelujah. I don't have to serve God after the manner of the flesh in any way, shape, or form. I'm not dependent upon it. I don't need it, and you don't need it. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Because if you live after the flesh, what does he say? You will die. And this was this whole chapter brings us to this. You're more than a woman. You're a child of God. You're more than a man. All spiritual blessings and heavenly places are reserved for you. And you've received the mind of Christ to receive them. You can walk with God, be a seeker of God, understanding that that's your food and your bread and your strength. Some people model in life is, you know, I watch out for me, I watch out for my family, you know, which are natural things for a natural man. I watch out for my wages. If you're after the Spirit, you say, He watches over me, and He's given me promise. He also watches over my family, and He also watches over those that are mine and my provision. I'm not a debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh in any means. For if you live after the flesh, you what? You will die. That's been His warning in the third chapter. That's His warning here. If you live after the flesh, you will die. And that's why we tell you, children of God, to live after the flesh, you're like a fish taken out of the water. You flop around for a while, but the life bleeds out of you. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, and Brother Surface, and when he wrote the foundation, went through this here, how that the Spirit of God transforms you into the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you will give yourself to the Lord, He will transform you into the temple of the Holy Ghost by His Spirit dwelling in you. And you will thrive. You will flourish in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, just like the Scripture said. Simply walking in what you were born of God to walk in.